Broadcasting from Cincinnati, you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Podcast, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Ringside Robbie. And we have a great show for you today. And as always, you can catch us on the web at www.ringsidereporter.com. Today, we're going to talk about the Battle of Brooklyn coming up this weekend. Quillen and Jacobs. It's happening, man. The Battle of Brooklyn is finally here. Can't wait for that. We also talk about Floyd Mayweather. Spent 50 large on Thanksgiving. That's gangster talk for $50,000. Our history lesson today, well, let's just say no mas. We continue with our lightweight fantasy tournament, but first, we get started with Tyson Fury shocks the world, and Vladimir Klitschko also. Tyson Fury beat Vladimir Klitschko by unanimous decision this weekend in Germany in front of a crowd of 55,000. I had the fight scored 118-109 for Fury.
You were kind.
Yeah, I tell you what. Klitschko seemingly forgot how to throw a jab. He forgot how to throw his right hand. He looked like he got old overnight in this fight, man. You know, that being said, these two conducted themselves like two elderly gentlemen in the ring on Saturday. This was not a crowd-pleasing fight. Let me tell you how bad this fight was. In the second round, Fury landed two punches. Klitschko landed one. This really set the tone for the night. Neither guy landed anything of substance throughout the night. Klitschko forgot that he had a right hand. He forgot that he had a jab. When Fury came out for that first round, I thought to myself, I saw him come out, and he's got his left hand glued to his hip. And I said, this fight is going to be over in three rounds. I said, Vlad's going to throw a couple of jabs and then bounce that right hand off his chin, and I'm going to be back to watching football in a few minutes. Nope. Didn't happen like that. Klitschko didn't do anything. He didn't throw his jab. He didn't throw his right. Nothing. Pathetic performance by Klitschko. I'll tell you that right now.
Klitschko only landed 53 punches.
Awful.
During the whole fight.
He couldn't even land a jab. And it's not like Tyson Fury was this blazing fast guy.
And Tyson Fury only landed 86. That's a college basketball score, folks.
Yeah, right?
I mean, come on. Look. I've only seen Tyson Fury fight twice, so I haven't seen him fight enough to know whether this is how he normally fights.
It's how he normally fights.
It is.
Absolutely.
Well, then Deontay Wilder is going to throw that Alabama power on him, and it's going to be turn out the lights.
I mean, if you only land 86 punches and you win the fight, you figure, what did the other guy do? He landed 56. Klitschko, did you notice that when in the first round, when he came out, and throughout the fight, his hand was completely glued to his hip. He was fighting like Kronk style.
Now you've seen Fury fight more than I have. So this is standard Tyson Fury?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Nothing really surprised you.
Okay. All right. Well, you know what, Deontay? As soon as you get your shot, put out the lights, because we as boxing fans, he may be entertaining outside the ring, but if this is the way he fights on a consistent basis, he ain't going to have a long heavyweight reign.
Right. Yeah, you know? I don't think so either. I don't...
I also question his size. They list him at 6'9". He did not look 3 inches taller than Vladimir Klitschko.
No, he really didn't. I mean, they both really looked the same size. There wasn't too much of a size difference, I didn't think.
No.
You know, I mean, Fury was a bigger guy, but
I wonder if the UK people are using the NBA height listers, because a lot of times in the NBA, they don't list the actual heights of a lot of the basketball players. There's no way. Now, look, I'm not 6'9", neither are you. But looking at those two side by side, there's no way he's 3 inches taller than he is.
No, I agree with that completely. No way. None at all, man.
You know. Well, unfortunately, folks, we don't want to see this again, but according to what I've read in several places, we are going to see it again. Klitschko has a rematch clause, and he told Fury and his team before he left Germany on Saturday, he's exercising it. So guess what? We're seeing this all over again.
Well, the good news for Fury is that the fight won't be in Germany this time. It'll probably be in England, I would imagine.
Yeah, he said he's going to put it in Wembley Stadium so 80,000 people can show up.
Yeah, I mean, I tell you what, though, I don't want to see it again. And this was free. You know, I wouldn't, you know, I mean, you really want to watch this again? You know what I mean? I mean, who wants to see this again?
Now, what improvement is going to, because the way they were talking, it'll be like next spring, like April, May, something like that, like they did with the Groves-Frotch fight, you know, number two. What improvements can be made when you're 39 years old and you're going to be 40 by the time you step in the ring? I don't see any.
Run a time machine. That's the only improvement that could get made. He's too old.
If you're 27,
right?
If you're 27, act like the 27-year-old and get him the hell out of there. I also question Fury's power. It says he's got 18 knockouts in 25 fights. What did he do? Knock over tomato cans?
I tell you, you know, yeah, and he had Klitschko and. Saying that he had Klitschko in trouble is kind of an overstatement, I think. But, you know, he did have him, you know, possibly wobbled at one point. But he never really went in there. And I felt like, you know, but, you know, his trainer, I think one of his trainer or his brother came out and said that that's the mistake that everybody makes against Klitschko, is that they try to go in there and try to knock him out because of his chin. You know, they think they can land that big shot on his chin, and they think they can knock him out. And, they didn't do that. They didn't go for that. They wanted to outbox him, which they clearly did. But, Klitschko, like I said, man, he couldn't throw his jab. He should have been hitting Tyson. I mean, if you couldn't hit Tyson Fury with that jab in the face, aim for his chest. You know? It's like Tyson Fury was like some kind of Muhammad Ali out there or something like that.
Well, one of my main criticisms of Vladimir Klitschko in all 67 of his 68 now of his professional fights is he's never once attacked somebody by going to the body. And he acts like, I'm heavyweight, I'm going to do what I want, and, I mean, hell, that attitude, you're not going to be successful. If you want to beat any of these guys in the heavyweight division, become a body puncher and you'll get several knockouts. But Vladimir Klitschko has never done that. He will never do that. I don't want to see this again, but we are going to get it again, and hopefully Fury wins more convincingly, because I scored at 120 to 108. I didn't give Vladimir Klitschko a round.
Yeah, I tell you, you know, it was tough. I mean, like I said, man, that first round, I think I gave that first round to Fury. It could have went either way, but I gave the first round to Fury. Yeah, it was really hard. I mean, it was hard to watch because, you know, not a lot of action was happening, but the action was being pressed by Fury, you know. I mean, Fury was, you know, he wasn't coming forward, but he was just demolishing this guy. I mean, he was hitting him, and Klitschko was throwing nothing. He was walking forward and just throwing nothing, man. It wasn't the same Klitschko you're used to seeing. And I think that's really through no fault of his own, man. I think he's just old.
And Jim Lampley and crew kept trying to make one excuse for Vladimir after another.
House fighter, you know.
Give me a break.
Right.
It's called Father Time. Father Time is still undefeated. So, you know.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, man. And he just got old. Some of those fighters, man, they get old overnight, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what happened here.
Yeah. But, Tyson, you're 12 years younger. Next time, beat him like you're 12 years younger. Knock him out if necessary. Don't be throwing 86 punches, or don't be landing 86 punches. Make sure every single one of them hurt. Show him that he's too old. Do what you're supposed to do against a fighter that does no longer belong in the sport.
Some people, it was funny. I was reading some of the boards yesterday, and some people were calling this the biggest upset since Clay Liston. It looked like Clay Liston, you know, and they were really comparing Tyson Fury to Muhammad Ali.
That's disrespectful to Muhammad Ali.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. You know why? Because he moved a little bit, you know? And he looks so beatable. I mean, they both look so beatable. I mean, clearly Klitschko got beat. But, you know, Tyson Fury looks so beatable, you know, by just the way he's so clunky and the way he moves. And it's just like, come on, man.
Yeah, if anybody's going to have a long title reign, and believe me, he's got weaknesses too, it looks like it's going to be the Alabama, the Bomb Squad.
Because the funny thing about it is after the fight, there was no mention of Deontay Wilder. You know, he says, "Nah, I don't want to talk about Deontay Wilder because, you know, I'm the champion. I beat Klitschko, you know, I'm better than him, blah, blah, blah." He said he wouldn't fight Wilder. He wouldn't fight Hay. We didn't want to talk about Wilder. He said he's definitely not fighting David Hay, which David Hay just came back from retirement, so whatever.
Yeah.
That fight's not going to happen, obviously.
Right.
But Anthony Joshua, I believe right now, could go in there and beat Tyson Fury. No
well, and that'll be a big moneymaker for the UK. So,
oh, yeah.
You know. And look, as we've discussed, Alexander Povetkin is going to mess around and blow his title shot. Anthony Joshua may be the next mandatory challenger for Wilder anyway. So, you know.
I would like to see Joshua and Povetkin and see how that goes, you know. Clearly that fight's probably not going to happen, but I would like to see that happen.
Yeah.
And see where Joshua is. Because they need to, you know, they throwing him in to get some, you know, not really. Well, he's fighting Dillon Whyte here soon, who's, again, not, to me, not really impressive, but whatever.
Nope.
I mean, I think they need to put him against some killers.
Yep.
You know.
Yep. I mean, show that you deserve that number two ranking by the WBC, you know.
Right.
I mean, how you got ranked that high in the first place is beyond me, but, you know, okay, since you're ranked that high, prove it.
Right, exactly. You know? Exactly.
No, look, hats off to Tyson Fury, but, my God, if the rematch clause is, you know, going to be used, beat him like he no longer belongs in the sport. Show that you're a true heavyweight. I don't want to see another 12-round dancing performance like I saw Saturday.
I'm not 100% sure. I tell you what, after watching Klitschko, when he watches that tape back over and over, because the reason he didn't hit him with that right hand is he couldn't pull the trigger, you know, and Klitschko's a smart guy. You know, Klitschko's a smart guy. I wouldn't be surprised if that fight doesn't come off.
Yeah. Everybody's saying, well, since the rematch is going to be happening, they expect Klitschko to get all of his belts back. Well, which is possible, but if he was going to get his belts back, why didn't he keep them in the first place?
Yeah, that's very true. Very true. You know. After the fight, Tyson Fury channeled his inner rock star and sang Aerosmith to his girlfriend, who's a dime
wife,
piece, by the way.
Yeah.
As far as Deontay Wilder, Tyson wasn't in a hurry to talk about him, as we stated earlier.
Yep.
And I tell you what, man, he's Lisa and I were watching this, man. He's a pretty good singer.
Yes,
he's
he is.
He's not bad. He's
no,
not
he's
bad,
not
man.
Bad at all, man. I mean, hell, give up your boxing career and go cut some records, dude.
This guy, you know, this guy has got a future after fighting, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yep. And hopefully his face don't get marked up too badly. You know, that's all I can say.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, after the fight, this is very interesting because I read this today. Tyson Fury accused of Vladimir Klitschko's camp of being cheats, saying Monday that he refused to accept any water. After beating him for fear of being drugged, he said, "I had good information off good resources not to touch anything in the changing rooms because they might drug you." Fury said, following his win over Klitschko, he said, "I went home dehydrated before I touched anything. I was so frightened of being drug tested and failing drug test."
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah. Well. You folks in the UK, enjoy the show that you're going to get in Wembley, and hopefully your boy does what he's supposed to. If not, it'll be a short reign.
Yeah, I'll be honest, man. I don't see Klitschko beating him. I don't either.
I
don't see Klitschko beating anybody. And you know what? It started, you know what? If you start to take a look at things, man, you take a look at that Bryant Jennings fight.
Well, yeah, he had trouble with a guy that he shouldn't have had trouble with.
Right.
But he was able to skate by, you know.
I mean, he should have gotten rid of Bryant Jennings, no questions.
Yeah.
You know, so this has been a long time coming, you know.
Yeah.
And,
well, and look, Vladimir Klitschko, let's be honest, he's had it too easy since he's been champion. Yes, he's disposed of everybody, but, you know.
But he's not fighting. There's nobody there, you know what I mean?
But let's face it, yeah, he's not really fought a big name up until now, you know. I hate to say this, but he's had 18 very successful, very easy title defenses, and it's not supposed to be that easy in the heavyweight division.
No, and like I said, man, that, you know, he's fought all his mandatories, all the guys he's supposed to fight through no fault of his own. That's who he fights, you know.
Yeah.
But there just isn't a groundswell of talent there, you know.
No.
Not like there used to be.
No.
You know, so it's tough, man. But, hey, he was a great champion. But, again, man, I don't see him coming back. Even if he does come back, he's going to be a show. He's going to get beaten worse this time.
Yep.
So, all right.
So, and UK people, start using accurate sizes for your fighters, because there's no way he's 6'9".
Why don't you just say he's 7'1", by the way?
Yeah.
You know, why don't you say that? Why don't he's 6'11", you know, 7'1".
Yeah. He's 6'6", if he's that, you know.
Yeah.
Come on, give me
that's
a break.
Like my size. That's like me when I say, you know, I'm 6', you know.
Yeah.
Nowhere close to 6', you know.
Right.
6'1". All right. So let's move on here. Let's talk about the train wreck of the week. So for the first time in show history, Robbie, the first time in history, it doesn't come in the news and rumors section. It comes right here in our next fight. The young master has a whole lot to learn, boy. Amir Imam looked like he was going to finish the fight early after a nice left-right combo floored the Chicago native. But after escaping the first, Granados dictated the tempo of the fight. Worked inside and prevented Imam, considered one of the boxing's most talented young contenders, from establishing his jab. With Imam unable to keep the fight at a distance, Granados picked apart Imam and ended up knocking him out in the eighth round.
Yes, he did. Now, this was on Show Extreme, so a lot of people may not have seen this. But Imam started out real good, but after he knocked him down and Adrian got up, you know, it was a different fight, and I think number one, I wasn't happy with Imam's corner. I think he needs new trainers, and the reason why he's the train wreck of the week, folks, is just like we discussed with Alexander Povetkin, when you're a mandatory challenger for a title, you don't take what is called a stay busy fight.
Idiot.
You wait for your title shot. He took this as a stay busy fight. He was the mandatory challenger for Victor Postol, but that's out the window now. Now I know the winner of the fight is not going to take that number one spot. It doesn't work that way.
No.
So it'll be interesting to see who Victor Postol has to make his mandatory title defense against now, because it was supposed to be this guy. But thanks to Adrian there, he did what he was supposed to do. And Imam, you got to get some new trainers and go back to school, son.
Idiot. Just a complete idiot. You know, he's a mandatory. You're the mandatory for Postol's title. Mandatory. You don't have to do anything. All you have to do is sit home, enjoy Christmas and Thanksgiving, and then go fight. That's all you have to do. That's your gig. No, I'm going to stay busy. You're a moron. Complete moron.
Now, look, I applaud fighters, Eric, for wanting to stay busy, you know, fight four times a year.
You're a mandatory.
But, no, that's my point. But when you're given the mandatory slot, that's when you take your break, man.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, look at Triple G, for example, guys. This is a perfect example. He got paid $800,000, and he actually went and watched the fight that he got paid for so they could have their fight.
Right.
And you know what? That's what you're supposed to do when you're a mandatory fighter. You get paid by the champion, or the WBC in this case,
I'll tell you what, Don King ought to be horsewhipped for putting this fight together. What an idiot. Now, Adrian Granados, was 15-3 in with 10 knockouts, 15-3 at two draws. The three people he lost
to... I thought it was 16-4 in two, but okay.
Yeah, I've got him listed as 15-3 here.
Okay, all right.
The guys that he lost to had a combined record of 49-0. So he wasn't fighting stiffs here.
That sounds familiar, 49-0.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, okay.
The former TBE Cesar Cuenca.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so 49-0. I mean, so this guy wasn't fighting chumps or losing to chumps, you know what I mean? He was fighting legit guys.
Yeah.
You know, and nobody spotted this? And they put him in there with this guy? Because, he's not, I mean, for a stay-busy fight, I mean, he's probably not going to be that motivated for it. I mean, he's probably going to be motivated. Obviously, he's going to be motivated, but not like he's going to be for Postal,
No.
And I tell you what, Mom probably would have gave Postal fits. I don't know if he would have beat him or not, but he would have definitely gave him fits.
Well, now he's got to work his way back up.
Yeah. So, yeah, absolutely.
That it's your own fault, and Don, maybe you are becoming senile at 84.
Why don't you go promote Klitschko or something? Yeah, exactly, man.
Good God! All right.
All right. Let's talk about Jermall Charlo, man. Stopping Silky Wilkie Camfort in the fourth round to retain his championship. I tell you, this was funny, man, because when I read the stats and you kind of watch it, it was a one-sided fight. He outlanded him 62-11 over the four rounds before it was ultimately stopped in round four at 116. But Charlo just demolished this guy.
Number one, where do they find these people to fight these guys? Because it looked like Canford didn't even belong in the ring. I mean,
no.
I know he won the title, but this was your so-called voluntary defense? come on, get somebody with a pulse, for God's sake.
Yeah, exactly. Look, all right, you got this voluntary out of the way, okay. Let's start fighting some guys with pulses now. You know what I mean? Let's fight some live. I want to see some warm bodies in there. You know what I mean? Let's see somebody. I mean, somebody who can actually fight, or in there.
Let's not be getting bodies out of the morgue, people, because that's what this was. Okay?
Exactly, yeah. This was bad, man. And PBC puts on really good fights, but PBC is starting to become known for, like I said, that old, wrestling mentality,
Yeah, well, I like the PBC, but I can understand where people aren't happy with the PBC, and there's very notable people who are totally against the PBC, and believe me, I'm starting to see what their criticisms are, because of fights like this.
And this isn't the first time we've seen something like this, We've seen it quite a bit with them, We're seeing it more and more with them, where you got the big name and you're building the big name up, But I mean, the way you're doing it, it's like a walkover.
Well, I know we're not talking about it yet, but what about Anders Laurie Lauren and John Zavick? That was a complete mismatch, and that also falls under the PBC banner.
Right.
To have Anders Laurie Lauren knock out anybody, come on. Lauren's not known as this Cuban killer. He's known as a Cuban boxer.
Well, and let's move to that fight. We'll bounce around here.
Okay.
Let's talk about Arislandi Lara and Jan Zabek. Now, this was great, man, because I'm watching ESPN. This is in Florida. This is in Miami. And if you've ever been to Florida before, any part of Florida, you know that it rains every day in Florida.
Yes, it does.
Every day. That's how everything is so lush and tropical there. It rains every day.
So one of the stupid things they did here is they had an outdoor fight? Really?
What genius put this together? What genius said, we're going to have this fight in Florida. Okay, that's a great idea. I got a better idea. Let's put it outside. Yeah, let's do it. Great. Yeah, it rains every day in Florida. Let's do it. Yeah, let's do it. Yeah, what are the chances that it's going to rain during the fight? Probably zero, you know.
Hell, how many times do you have a rain delay in boxing?
Right.
No, I mean,
I was like, am I being punked here? What is going on? It's outside. Yeah. You idiots. You know? Once it got started, you know, the storms moved out, of course, and then the action got started. And, man, this was a mismatch. Lara controlled the action pretty much from start to finish in this one, man.
Yeah.
The third round, the ref stopped with Zavik couldn't, you know, Zavik was getting pummeled. He was unable to continue. Ref stopped the fight at 41 seconds into the third. Man, I tell you what, Lara looked really good. He's looked really good in his last two fights, but again, he's not really fighting, you know.
Ah, well, I wonder if a performance like this, whether this will actually encourage somebody to get in the ring with him. Probably not, because he was basically fighting a dead body, but, you know, there's hope that, you know, Andujar Lara finally gets some competition. I mean, I still had him beating Canelo, for God's sakes. This guy does not get the credit he deserves.
No, he really doesn't. But, you know, he's not going to get credit for fighting guys like this either.
No. Look, Al, you're doing a good thing here, but you have to improve the competition level of your fighters. I mean, people are starting to get pissed off at you and not like what you're doing because of fights like this.
Yeah, but, you know, I think, you know, they're going to go back to, I think the PBC, if you ask them, they're going to say, well, people want to see this. People want to see knockouts. People want to see the big fights, the big knockouts and everything like that.
We may want to see knockouts, Eric, but we want to see knockouts of people that actually know how to fight.
Right, right.
There's a difference.
And, you know, and not that Zavik can't fight and not that, who was the other guy we were just talking about, can't fight. But they're not in the same league, man. They're just not. You know, they're not in the same league as these guys.
No.
You know, so they get these guys soft touches and they roll right over them. So they look to make a match down the road. I understand what they're doing, but, you know, I mean, come on.
Don't treat boxing like the WWE, okay?
Well, that's what they're doing. And I mean, you look at it and that's how they're setting up the Quillen fight, you know, that Quillen-Jacobs fight. I mean, look at Jacobs fought Sergio Mora, who was brought in there as a sacrificial lamb. I mean, you know.
Well, you know, we'll talk about that in a bit. And the Quillen-Jacobs fight is the kind of fight they should always be putting on.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
I mean, come on, Al. You have a roster of, what, well over 200 fighters? Make your stable fight one another.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Make people earn their paychecks.
All right, let's talk about also on the PBC, Errol Spence versus Alejandro Barrera. Barrera, he was tough. I mean, he was a tough fighter, man. But I've been saying it since I've first seen Errol Spence, he's something special. You know, he's going to be the next guy. You know, he just demolished this guy. And what always impresses me about Spence, what's he do? He goes straight for that body.
Uh-huh.
He goes straight for the body. Ended up knocking this guy out, sent him to the hospital. Barrera went to Baylor Medical Hospital after the fight. He was done. Yeah, this was a one-sided fight for Spence. And, you know, Spence, who was it? He had two fighters that are fighting pretty soon, two name fighters. They didn't want to fight Spence. And I don't know.
Yeah, one was Algieri. And,
yeah, Algieri. Algieri's the one.
Algieri was one, and Luis Collazo was the other one. They both turned down the fights.
Yeah, and I don't blame them. Nobody wants to fight this guy, man.
Well, yeah, again, you've got to step up this guy's competition. You've got to, look, that's why I said, you've got to force Algieri to take a fight. Like, if Algieri signed with the PBC, I don't know, I'm not sure if he is or not, but Al's got to force his clients to actually step in the ring and earn their paychecks.
Yeah, let me see where this guy is ranked here.
The one he beat?
No. Where is Errol Spence ranked at?
Okay.
Let's check here and see.
You know, but it's time. Now, look, they've got a fight coming up with Algeri and Bonet, and I'm glad Eric gets his shot. He deserves it. But, you know, you got to step up the level of Earl's competition. If he's the truth, I want to see him in there with a name, you know.
Yeah, I agree with that. And where is he at? He's at 147. Let's see here. He's ranked number 10 in the IBF, 10 in the WBA, and 10 in WBC. Wow.
Okay. Well, if you're in the top 10, time to step up your level, buddy.
I agree. I agree with that. Yeah.
You know, I mean, come on. I love boxing, but I don't like these soft touches.
You know, I tell you, you know, Sean Porter is right there. Well, you got Thurman and Sean Porter are going to fight next year. Garcia versus Guerrero was just announced too. Danny Garcia is going to fight Roberto Guerrero.
I absolutely hate that fight because Danny's going to run over Robert Guerrero.
Well, again, Robert's got the Klitschko syndrome. Where I think he's been around a little bit too long, you know, and he's been through a lot of wars.
Yeah.
You know, and I just don't see him beating Garcia. You know.
No.
He's a big name, and he's going to be added to the resume or whatever, but he's not the same fighter, man.
No, he has the last good fight Robert Guerrero ever had was when he beat Andre Berto.
Yeah, yeah. And he's always involved in wars. And, I mean, Garcia, I think Garcia should get him fairly easy.
Danny will take him apart. It's not even going to be close.
Yeah, Danny is the most underrated zero-loss fighter who's had multiple titles and everything like that.
Yep.
Everybody overlooks that guy.
Well, it's because he had so much trouble with a guy like Mauricio Herrera. He's lucky to walk out of that ring with a win because I swear I thought Herrera either earned a draw or earned a victory.
Right, right. Yeah, I did too. That was a tough one, you know.
Yeah.
He's got that, you know what, but he's got that Timothy Bradley syndrome where a lot of fights are close. You know what I mean? A lot of fights that are close usually go his way. Fights that you don't think he should have got the nod, he gets the nod, and people don't like that. You know, they want to see fair fighting and that kind of thing.
But I think it's on January 23rd, the debut of Fox, the debut of the Fox package, courtesy of the PBC.
Look at Guerrero, man. I tell you what, I hope he's getting paid, man, because he's opened up a couple of these now.
Yeah, and he opened up NBC.
Thurman, yeah.
Yeah, all right. So now he's going to open up Fox. But Danny, that's an easy night's work, son.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
The most fun part about this is the two dads. You know, the two dads are going to be going at one another.
And I'm not a big fan of either one of those guys, to be honest.
No, I'm not either. But that's going to be the highlight of the news conference, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know? Puerto Rico and Mexico. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Also, too, man, let me tell you what. Let's move on here. Let's talk about this guy right here. This guy is another one, man, who I think is going to make some waves. He's an up-and-comer. Erickson Lubin.
Oh, I've been singing his praises ever since I've seen it. Yeah.
You have. I know that, man.
And yeah.
Like, watching this guy, man, it's like, man, that guy is the truth. Lubin wins by second round knockout, man. I cannot wait to see him again. It was all Lubin in this fight. He knocked out Alexis Camacho. It was just a one-sided affair, man. It was
In his case, you know, he's 13-0, 10 knockouts. You know, he's still building his career. I don't mind these kind of fights.
No, I don't either. I don't either. You know, and I mean, they'll step him up slower. But he's 13-0. You know, but you could see he's got something there.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So it'll be real interesting to see what he does from here.
Yeah, no, I can't. That's why I'm so disappointed in Oscar. Diego De La Hoya's got the same kind of future, and yet we haven't been able to see his last two fights.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, why? He's your blood, too. I mean, he's like his nephew or his cousin or something crazy
nephew.
You guys are gente. You don't even put him on TV. Shows you how much Oscar cares about you.
Give me a break.
Yeah, right?
You know.
It'd be funny if he transferred over to Bob Arum or some PBC or something like that.
Yeah.
It'd be great if he went to PBC. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. Come on. No, obviously these two kids aren't in the same division, but because I think Lubin is bigger than De La Hoya. But these two have bright futures.
Oh, absolutely.
I want to see these two every time they fight.
Yeah. Heck yeah, man.
Get to work, Oscar.
That Lubin is so explosive, man. Oh, yeah. Man, is he explosive.
Yeah. Right. No, Saturday was a fun day for fights.
Absolutely. Let's talk about the one on Showtime here, James DeGale versus Lucien Bute. You know, I'll be honest, man. I'm not a big James DeGale guy. I don't know why. I don't know what it is about him or his style that I'm not really impressed with. He's just okay for me, you know. Judges scored this fight 116-112, 117-111, and 117-111 for James DeGale. This took place in Canada. Bute, you know, came on strong at the end, man, but just didn't have, I mean, this was, you know, this was the
game. No, Lucien Bute had looked better in this fight than he has in several years, so he came prepared, but James DeGale was a better fighter, and he deserved the victory, and now there's talk that him and Badu Jack are going to fight probably in April,
man,
in Las Vegas.
He's not beating my boy Badu Jack, I tell you that. Friend of the show. He's not beating him. No way.
No, I like Badu Jack in that fight.
He's just too good of a boxer.
Yeah,
he ain't messing with that. All right, so that was this weekend. Did we miss it? I think we got everything here.
Right. And then they had a light heavyweight fight before that. Alex Chilimba and what was his name? I can't remember the other guy's name, but the other guy won. I hate it when names disappear out of my mind.
Yeah,
but anyway,
I don't remember either.
Anyway, he becomes the next mandatory challenger for Adonis Stevenson, but that ain't going to happen. Oh, you were talking about, well, I'll save it for news and rumors. I don't want to go out of sequence here,
okay.
But I just thought of something else.
Awesome. Awesome.
Okay.
All right, so let's see here. On December 4th, which I believe is a Wednesday? Yeah, Wednesday.
Yeah, and it's Friday, because Thursday is December 3rd, Friday's the 4th. Because remember, Saturday the 5th is...
Yeah, you're right, because I'm looking at my calendar, and I'm on November. It's December.
Yeah.
All right, so yeah, the 4th is Friday.
Yeah.
On Ring TV, Christian Gonzalez versus Alejandro Ochoa, 8 rounds. And then Oscar Negrete versus TBA, the dreaded TBA.
Okay.
All right. And that'll be on Estrella TV or Ring TV.
Uh-huh.
All right. Now, December 5th, Saturday, New York, Showtime and Showtime Extreme, Daniel Jacobs versus Peter Quillen, 12 rounds for Jacobs, WBA regular middleweight title. So what do you think about this one, man? This should be good.
You know, I've been going back and forth on this fight, but because I've got problems with both guys here. But I think if push comes to shove, I think Peter Quillen will walk out with Jacob's belt. I think Quillen wins this fight.
I think so too, man. I think Quillen is. I think Quillen's too strong, too sharp. Daniel Jacobs really doesn't impress me, to be honest, man.
I also wonder with the way Peter's been fighting lately with coming in overweight, I wonder if this will be his last fight at middleweight. I wonder if he's going to be moving up to 168 because the last couple of fights, it looks like he's had issues even trying to get down to 160. So, you know, he may end up winning this title and then giving it up because he can't make the weight in the future.
That's what I'm wondering, too, if he's going to take that title and just move up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If he loses, I definitely see him moving up. But if he wins, I see him moving up either way. But
yeah,
I think Quillen all day in this, man. Quillen, I like Quillen a lot, man. It's just his style, the way he fights, the way, you know, he's an action fighter. He likes to knock people out. He's got the power to knock people out. He can box, he can brawl, he can do whatever he wants to do. You know, Jacobs is a boxer. You know, but I think Quillen is a better boxer.
And not to be insensitive to those that have suffered from cancer.
You are so insensitive.
But for you cancer survivors, look, I'm glad you've beaten your diseases, but I want Daniel Jacobs to lose because I'm sick of hearing that story. It's old. Yes, we're glad he survived, but you can't always promote him by talking about his cancer battle. It's done. It's over with. He's a fighter now. And frankly, when Peter gets done with him on Saturday night, we won't have to hear about it anymore.
Wow. Wow. Unbelievable. I mean, look at you.
You don't agree with that.
Dumping all over the people with cancer. Just dumping all over them.
You don't yeah. agree with that, huh?
Screw okay. chemo. Yeah, screw okay. chemotherapy. Screw all of what you went through. What a whore. What a monster. What
a, you know,
you're a horrible human being.
Look, I'm absolutely sick of that storyline. I mean, come on.
Unbelievable.
It's old.
Oh,
you know?
It's horrible. My dad, you know, he went through lymphoma, you know, the same thing. Daniel Jacobs.
Hey,
you know,
Eric.
He's going through this. And,
hey, Eric, when your dad hears this, he's gonna look at you and go, you know what? He's absolutely right. You know?
Robbie said he's the voice of the people.
Hey, I am. You know? But no, I no offense to anybody that's ever had cancer, but my God, I'm sick of that story. And you can't sit there and tell me you're not sick of it too, because we've talked about it before.
Ultimately, yeah. Ultimately, they've got to come up with something better than he's had cancer. We've heard it. We now he's on the main stage.
Yeah.
We've got to, you know, now he's got to let his fist through the talking, and I'm not
sure.
I guarantee you,
Saturday before that fight comes on, they're going to run that into the ground.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's a good story, but at the same time, yeah, I want to hear, you know, I want to focus on the fight itself. You know, I want to focus on the fight itself.
No, so Peter, do us all a favor, win this fight.
Wouldn't it be funny if they just brought him in with like a bunch of survivors and stuff like that, like led him to the ring, try to play that whole angle up, you know?
Oh my God!
You're horrible, Robin. You know? I can't believe you said that, man. That's messed up.
It's all right.
All right, let's talk about the undercard here. Jesus Cuellar versus Jonathan Oquendo. 12 rounds for Cuellar's WBO regular featherweight title. I absolutely hate. With a passion, reading this WBA regular middleweight title. Is there an irregular title?
First of all, we don't need a regular. We don't need a super.
You got
we
a
don't
champion.
Need.
That's
yeah.
it. Yeah, the champion. That's it. There's one champion. That's that.
Yeah, yeah. But look, the last time I've seen Jonathan Kendall, he looked good. I think he was on the Golovkin undercard or the.
He was on one of those. Yeah, he was on one of them.
Yeah, I think it was a Golovkin undercard, if I'm not mistaken, and he looked good. So I think Oquendo wins this fight. If it's Oquendo, I think it is.
Yeah.
But I absolutely agree with you. Come on, people, we don't need this garbage. You know. Any other undercard fights?
Yeah, the big one, man. The big one. Chris Algieri versus Eric Bonet. 10 rounds, welterweights.
You know what? I'm looking forward to this fight because...
I'm looking forward to this fight, too.
Because, you know what? I want to see Eric Bonet when he's had a full training camp and things like this. And, hey, good on the PBC. I criticized them earlier, but this is a good thing they're doing. They're rewarding a guy for actually helping them out, and you know that's a good thing. Chris Algieri will probably win this fight, but I was very impressed with what I seen from Bonet when he fought a Sean Porter on 24 hours notice.
Yeah,
I mean
that was good, man. And he went up. You know, it wasn't in his weight class.
No.
You know, this should be a good fight, man. Eric Bonet can fight.
Yeah.
And Chris Algieri actually looked really good against Amir Khan last time.
Well, I should have won, okay?
I don't know about that. I had Amir Khan winning that fight.
I know I did too, but, you know. But I think this will be good. So good for the PBC. This should be a decent fight.
Yeah, I think so too.
Right.
Heather Hardy also on the undercard.
Well, we won't get to see that.
No, we won't get to see that, so she'll have to call me later and tell me how that goes. All right, let's see. HBO Latino on Saturday also, December 5th. Wilfredo Vasquez Jr. versus Rafael Rivera. And Dusty Hernandez Harrison versus Steve Claggett. Didn't Dusty Hernandez, isn't he signed to Roc Nation?
He's the one that opened up the Roc.
Yeah, so, he's the one who opened up the card, right? Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I think Dusty should win this fight, and congratulations, HBO, another Latino fight. I mean, come on.
Yeah, why not put this on the regular card? Why not put it on HBO 2 or something like that?
Give me a break. At least Showtime gives us Showtime Extreme. Why don't you give us HBO 2, for God's sake?
Yeah, I think you're right about that, man. Instead of putting us on HBO Latino, they should put it on like HBO 2 and have like HBO, and have that like HBO Extreme or whatever. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they're doing the same thing on the 19th. They're going to have fights on HBO Latino before they have the Jennings and Ortiz fight and the Nichols-Walters fight. They're going to have Gabriel Rosario, I forget who he's fighting, and somebody else on Latino. Come on. Yeah. Look, I know you want to pander to your audience, but what's wrong with HBO 2, man?
Nothing wrong with pandering to us. Nothing.
And speaking of the 19th, Showtime has picked up the Billy Joe Saunders Andy Lee fight. It's going to be Showtime International, so we'll get to see that on our TV.
Awesome.
So there you go.
Also, too, on Saturday, on Robbie's favorite station from Fresno, California, on Unimas, Jose Ramirez versus Johnny Garcia, 8 rounds, junior welterweights, and Andy Vences versus Manuel Rojas, 8 rounds, lightweights.
Again, more Latinos fight, and if you speak Spanish, that's a good thing.
And get your streams ready here, because Robbie's boy, Johnny Gonzalez, fights on Saturday also against Futa Nakagishi. I hope
that's a right. Japanese thing, I guess.
Yeah.
Where's that at?
It's in Mexico.
Okay.
So you'll probably be able to catch that on YouTube. I'm sure nobody's streaming that thing.
Nope.
Let's see here. What else? I think that's it.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, hold on. Let me see here. That's December 7th. That's Monday. Now, on Monday, December 7th, let's see here. Ruan Wrong is fighting in Thailand.
He's the one that disposed of Zhu Shiming.
I want to see him fight. I want to see him fight, what's his face? Chocolatito.
Chocolatito, yeah. Okay.
So he's on December 7th. So.
Well, remember, isn't Ruan? He's 112. That's right. Yeah. I was thinking. Yeah. Okay. Let's do that. Let's put that together, guys.
Yeah. Why not? I want to see it.
Yeah.
Why not?
Hey, if he can get rid of Zhu Shiming, maybe he can get rid of Chocolatito. Who knows?
Yeah. He might be the guy. He's quick.
Yeah.
He's very quick.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move forward. That's the upcoming fights for this weekend.
Right.
We're talking about our history lesson. No Mas, November 25, 1980. Roberto Duran versus Sugar Ray Leonard, 2.
Yep. Now, I love the first one, and I was very disappointed with the way the second one ended, but go ahead and talk about it.
Yeah, I think everybody was disappointed the way the second one ended, that's for sure. Their very first fight took place on June 20, 1980, in Montreal. Sugar Ray Leonard was defending the WBC welterweight championship for the second time. Duran was a WBC number one contender. Leading into this first fight, Duran had insulted Ray Leonard, insulted his wife, his entire family. His dog, anything you could possibly think of to insult Duran, hit it. Completely just... I mean, obnoxious to Ray Leonard,
He was the Latino version of Tyson Fury,
Exactly. Ricardo Mayorga had nothing on Duran. So Ray Leonard, is usually, was known for his boxing style. He stood toe-to-toe with Duran, and Leonard was just angry, man. He stood toe-to-toe with Duran, and, long story short, he lost the fight, because that's not really a good strategy.
Yeah.
Very close, by the way.
Yeah.
148, 147, 145, 44, 146, 144.
Right.
All the animosity, the close scores, pretty much guaranteed a rematch.
Right.
And just a few months later, in November. The rematch took place in the Superdome in New Orleans. Leonard had a completely different look in this match. Came in completely different fighter. You know, he was constantly moving. He never stopped moving through the fight. From the first round to the last round, he was moving constantly and just completely frustrated Duran in this fight. Duran couldn't hit him, couldn't touch him, couldn't find him, couldn't see him, couldn't do anything against him. Ray Leonard was jabbing him to death. Anything he wanted to land, he landed. The whole fight, he was just moving around. And right around the seventh round, he started clowning. You know, he did a little clowning throughout the fight, but in the seventh round, it really got tough. He would launch his, you know, bolo punch where he would wind up his right hand and then all of a sudden jab him and then move away. And in the eighth round, in the closing seconds of the eighth round, when all this was going on, Duran just turned his back on Leonard and said, "No mas." He waved his glove to referee Octavio Marin and said, "No mas," which means, of course, no more in Spanish.
Yeah.
Leonard, and then, you know, as soon as he turned his back, Leonard hit him with a couple body shots, and that was it. The referee had stopped the fight. Leonard was the winner by TKO at 244 of round eight, regaining his WBC welterweight title. What shocks me even more than the no mas was the fact that Leonard led by a small margin on the scorecards, 68-66, 68-66, and 67-66 on the judges' scorecard at the time of the TKO.
Now, refresh my memory. Did we ever get an explanation as to why he quit?
Yes, we're going to talk about that. Yeah.
Because that's basically what he did here. And let's face it, for those of us that have followed boxing, Roberto Duran never quit. To this day, I still don't understand why the hell he just, that's it. I've had enough, you know. We criticize fighters all the time for, you know, flat out quitting. Well, that's what he did here.
I agree.
In my opinion.
Yeah, he absolutely did.
Yeah.
And, you know, but the judges, I mean, I had that fight. When I watched that fight over, I mean, I couldn't give Duran a round. I mean, not one round. I mean,
no.
You know, there's no way he won a round on that, you know?
No.
So, but, so Duran said no mas. Immediately afterwards, Duran claimed that he quit because of stomach cramps, which started to bother him around the fifth round. He said the cramps occurred because he took off weight too quickly, then he ate too much the morning of the weigh-in. But his manager, you know, Carlos Aleta, said that Duran always ate that way before the fight. And Duran, throughout his career, has been known to blow up during fights, you know,
yeah,
blow up between fights.
And he remember, said, back when Roberto Duran was fighting, they weighed in the day of the fight.
Yeah.
You know.
You know. So
yeah,
there was
yeah,
nothing there, you know. There was nothing, you know. He said he always ate that way during fights. Now, Aleta said also, too, he said that Carlos Aleta, his manager, said that he didn't quit because of stomach cramps. He quit because he was embarrassed.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And Duran's stature in his home country took a dramatic dive after the fight. He was a hero in Panama. The immediate reaction was shocked, followed by anger. Within hours,
right,
commercials featuring Duran in both Panama and the United States were ordered off of the air. It took almost 3 years before people started to really forgive him for that, which is amazing. I mean, because that is just the cardinal sin.
Yeah, you know? In boxing, if you quit, you're never forgiven.
No.
In
boxing, and if you're a Latin fighter. I mean,
yeah,
anybody from that culture, man, you don't quit. That's a bad thing, man.
I hate to put it like this, but in that kind of culture, the only way you can quit is if you die. You know,
that's it.
Pretty much.
That's it.
Know?
Yeah, you don't quit, man. No way. That's you know, very strict.
I mean,
not to quit.
To bring it back to our history lesson from last week, that's why Dooku Kim is still so respected, because he didn't quit. He died.
Right.
You know?
He let it go. He gave it. He put everything on the line. Everything on the line. And, you know, I mean, like I said, Ray Leonard didn't stand in front of him this time. He moved around. He bounced around and really, really fought a great fight. He really did.
Mm-hmm.
And to this day, it's not really known why he quit. Duran doesn't say he quit. You know, he always blames it on stomach cramps. He blames it on this, that. I remember there was a 30-30 special ESPN did. And if you haven't seen it, you have to see it. It's called No Mas. And it's about Sugar Ray Leonard and Roberto Duran. And Roberto Duran, you know, is in Panama. Ray Leonard goes to Panama to see him and find out what happened in that fight. Because, quite honestly, nobody really talked about Ray Leonard winning that fight and how dominant he was. Nobody really cared. Everybody was still talking about Duran after that fight, you know? Yeah. And Ray, you know, he's like, I'm the guy that won, you know?
You know, that's why I'm amazed that there was never a third fight because of all that, you know?
Well, there was.
Oh, that's right.
There
okay.
was. And it was on December 7th of 1989 in Las Vegas. Leonard retained his WBC super middleweight championship in a pretty one-sided 12-round decision.
Yeah.
I remember Duran cut him pretty bad in that fight. I remember Duran really laced his eye in that fight. But mm-hmm. both fighters were way past their prime. It was not a good fight. It was, you know.
No, it was. No wonder why I didn't remember it. It didn't live up to the first two, you know.
Right, 9 years later. It was 9 years later, the rematch, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, I tell you, it was, you know, Duran was just one of those guys. And, you know, going back to that special, it was funny because, you know, they kind of set up a ring for him and they had talked and everything. And Duran now is like a hero. He's, you know, he's getting silly, a hometown hero in Panama and everything. And really likable guy. Back when he was fighting, you know, he was one of the most hated guys. This is the guy that knocked out Ken Buchanan and then spit on him when he was down.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he was mean. I mean, this guy was just straight up mean. And that's why them guys loved him. That's why his country loved him, man. I mean, he was just mean. He was, you know, just a nasty fighter, you know.
And yeah, he went from being loved to being hated to being loved again.
Yeah, and now he's a very, you know, very calm guy. He's always smiling and laughing and stuff like that. And they put these two guys in the ring again, and they were just talking. And he said, you know, why did you, what happened? You know, Sugar Ray asked him, what happened? And I can't remember Duran's direct answer, but it was, you know, and Sugar Ray would ask him another question and ask him, you know, he would respond to the, you know, almost like a cross-examination almost, you know. And Sugar Ray said he just let him off the hook, you know. He said it was just embarrassing, you know. He's kind of felt bad for him, he said. You know, and he's right. He kind of, you know, it was kind of embarrassing to watch. Look, you know what happened. You don't need you don't need him to say what happened. You know what happened. He quit.
Right.
You know he quit. Everybody knows he quit. He didn't have stomach cramps. He quit, you know.
No, and that is the one that's the one sin in boxing that you're never ever forgiven for. And ironically enough, he was able to turn it around, and now everybody forgives him for it. But normally, especially in the Hispanic culture, you're never forgiven for those kind of things.
Yeah. Now, 3 years later, on June 16th, 1983, Duran's 32nd birthday, incidentally, he knocked out undefeated Davey Moore in the eighth round to win the WBA Junior Middleweight Championship. In Panama, there was rejoicing in the streets. He was again the hero.
Yeah.
So, which was really cool.
Yeah.
I like Duran a lot, man. I like Duran a lot, man. But, that fight, you know, come clean, man. You quit the fight, you know.
Yeah,
he quit the fight, but it was a good fight, man. A good series of fights, really. I mean, to be honest with you, with the exception of the third one, you know. But
I mean, heck, whenever Roberto Duran was involved in a fight, you could probably use a history lesson on each one of his fights in his career because you know, they weren't boring. You know, he either dominated or it was close or, you know, one of those kind of deals.
Well, you know, you take a look at the Hagler fight where he went up and fought Hagler.
Yeah.
And, you know, man, look, you can make a case that he won that fight.
Yes, you can.
You can absolutely make that case.
Yes.
Yeah, because Duran, boy, I mean, you know, you never knew. You just never knew what guy was going to show up, man. I mean,
well, that's one of the reasons why he's involved in our tournament, because he wasn't called Hands of Stone for nothing.
No, and that lightweight, I mean, this guy went up to middleweight. I mean, went up to middleweight to fight Hagler. This guy's natural weight and his best weight, the one where he was most deadly, made a name for himself, lightweight.
135, and he went all the way up to 160.
How crazy is that? Yeah.
Think about that.
Absolutely.
You know, he never fought what is called a catchweight.
Right.
Back in his day, they didn't exist.
Yeah.
Yo, Canelo, pay attention.
And you know? I tell you, that's another thing, man. When you think about like how much weight he had to lose between fights, because he would blow up. I mean, he was known to party and eat and everything like that, and really blow up, man. Yeah.
Oh, there's constant stories from people in Vegas would say every time he hit town, he'd go through all the casinos and hit the buffets. You know?
I remember watching a documentary on that fight on Roberto Duran.
Yeah.
And he said he was back in Panama, and he was around a group of guys, I guess his trainers and stuff like that, you know, they're getting ready for the fights or whatever. And there was a horse. There was a horse, you know, they were at like a farm.
Yeah.
And he says, "You see that horse over there?" And he says, "Yeah." He said, "I bet I could knock out that horse." He said, "You
I remember
knock
that.
Out the horse." He knocked out the horse. He said he yeah. knocked out the. He went over there and punched the horse and knocked out the horse. Get out of here, man! Are you for real?
Yeah. Oh, and you know what? He was one of the people in Madison Square Garden, Eric. He showed up for Triple G.
He's amazing, man. He is.
Get this. He showed up for Triple G, but he didn't show up for Cotto Canelo. What does that say?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You know?
Man. Well, you mentioned that Roberto Duran was in our lightweight tournament. Let's move on to our fantasy fights, because Roberto Duran is the number one seed in the tournament.
That's right.
So let's start here. Let's go ahead and let's talk about our fantasy fights this week. We got, let's see, four of them to talk about here. Or no, we got eight of them to talk about here.
Eight of them.
All right, so let's talk about the first one, man. Jack McAuliffe versus Carlos Ortiz. All right, so Jack McAuliffe was, you know, he was listed as one of the best lightweights in the era, all right, back in 1866. All right, so this guy, you know, and I actually found some video on him, and I was watching Jack McAuliffe fight. And he fights like what you would think, like 1930 style boxing,
okay.
where the fists are like facing the opposite direction.
Now,
where, like, the knuckles are towards you, not the opponent.
Were these bare knuckle, or did they have gloves?
They had gloves, but it was like he fought like the bare knucklers.
Okay,
you know,
all right.
Where his hands are, you know, kind of bent or whatever, like that.
Okay,
and he's fighting Carlos Ortiz. Who lost to Ken Buchanan, incidentally, in the lightweight division. But Carlos Ortiz was a decent fighter. And, you know, look, man, I just don't see any way that Jack McAuliffe could have beat Carlos Ortiz. Because of the way that he fought.
Right.
Because of that bare-knuckle style, he couldn't have beat any modern-era fighter.
No.
He just couldn't. Because he didn't have the head movement. He didn't have the speed. He didn't have the defense. And he may have had the speed, but he couldn't operate the speed with the way he fought. Hmm. So I'm going with Carlos Ortiz on this one via decision.
Okay, I'll have to agree because, you know, these are guys that I really don't know that much about. So
yeah, computer also took Carlos Ortiz. It was very close, but ultimately they took Carlos Ortiz.
Okay.
I actually thought the computer was actually going to take McAuliffe, but we were going to overrule him because he just, you know, you can't. We're talking about the best lightweight in history, and when you're talking that way, I don't care if the guy was undefeated.
Right.
He can't fight like that and be a threat to somebody like an Ortiz or like a Howard Davis or Alexis Arguay or anybody.
Right.
Or even, you know, Jorge Linares. I mean, you just won't do it, you know.
Okay.
So that's my take on that. So next fight, we got Carlos Ortiz advances to the next round, the round of 16. So the next fight, we have Ken Buchanan versus Tony Canzoneri. Canzoneri was out of New York. He fought out of New York. He was actually born in Louisiana, but fought out of New York. Ken Buchanan, of course, from Scotland. And he's the one that held the lightweight title. He's the one that Roberto Duran, of course, famously beat for that lightweight title. Buchanan was a good fighter, man. He was a really good fighter. That being said, Tony Canzoneri fought a lot of Hall of Famers, including Kid Chocolate, which he knocked out in two rounds. Canzoneri and watching video on Canzoneri and stuff like that, Canzoneri could fight. And Canzoneri could fight. He had the style that, you know, he could fight then and he could fight later. You know what I mean?
Yep.
He fought in his era, and he would have been effective later on also. I mean, okay. He just had a good style for it. Ken Buchanan lost a lot of big fights. After watching the video on both, I would have to favor Canzanari in this one.
Yeah, I've heard of Canzanari, so I think I'd have to take him in this. In this one, yes.
And the computer also favored Canzanari in this one also. This was another razor-thin one, man. This was actually razor-thin. So
okay.
Canzanari takes this one. He moves on to the round of 16.
Okay.
The next one, two guys we really know pretty well, Bobby Chacon.
I know Bobby.
Yeah, and yeah. This is Howard Davis Jr. Now, just as a pre-fight here, Howard Davis Jr. now has cancer.
Bobby seems
to be going with Bobby Chacon in this one.
Now look, Howard Davis is the one fighter on that 1976 Olympic team that he was on the same team with Sugar Ray Leonard. I don't think he ever got the respect he deserved when he actually was fighting. This is horrible. He got stage 4 lung cancer and he never smoked a day in his life.
Not one. Yeah, exactly. And I don't think he drinks. He doesn't smoke. Doesn't drink.
No.
Nothing, man. So
the story is, how did he get stage 4 lung cancer when he never did any of those things?
Well, and I think when you talk about stuff like that, a lot of people, people get skin cancer and it's not related to the sun. You know what I'm saying? I mean, people
right.
That's the myth is that, not a myth, of course, you can get skin cancer by being out in the sun, no question, or going to tanning beds or whatever, but it's not mandatory that you do those things to get it.
No.
You know what I mean? It happens.
Yeah.
And the same thing with lung cancer, it happens. Same thing with lymphoma or anything you're talking about, it just happens.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you cause it, doesn't mean anything, it just kind of happens that way. And, I'm with you. Howard Davis never really, I don't think Howard Davis won a championship. Never really won the championship. Never really reached his, he had a great amateur style. When he reached the pros, it was a different ball game. Different ball game in the pros.
No, he did good, but he never could make that next step.
Yeah.
Now,
Bobby Chacon. He had wars.
Chacon, he did.
With who was the other guy? Who was the other guy? Who was real famous for Chacon. Who else did he fight? He fought Zuccolino.
Greg Haugen.
I mean, he fought some wars.
Didn't he fight one of the? Didn't he fight Camacho?
Yeah, he fought Camacho.
Yeah.
Fought Camacho.
Now and like I said, he's from Sacramento.
Yeah.
Or close to that. And we're those of us who grew up around here, we're totally familiar with Bob. Because he used to sell out the original Arco Arena in Sacramento. I mean, my God, every time he had a fight, you couldn't find a seat. I mean, hell, everybody showed up from everywhere. Now the only two fighters that are from Northern California that are well known are Robert Guerrero and Andre Ward, and neither one of them can sell out any arena around here.
Right.
You know.
Bobby Chacon was that crowd-pleasing guy.
He was like
the Arturo Gatti almost of that era because, I mean, when you knew he was on the card and he was fighting, you knew there was going to be a fight.
And you know what? I loved it. The networks finally had to step up and take notice because they wanted to ignore Bobby for years just because of where he was from. But he kept getting in so many wars, they finally had to step up and take notice.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I don't know if he beats Davis, but I'm definitely for Bobby in this one.
All right. So Robbie takes Bobby Chacon.
Yeah.
The computer chooses Howard Davis Jr. as the winner.
Now, that doesn't surprise me.
Now, what about me? I've got to break the tie here. Chacon, man, he has been in so many wars, so many good fights. The problem is, with Howard Davis Jr., Howard Davis Jr. is not going to be involved in a fight.
No.
Howard Davis will use his jab, his movement, and to me, I think he beats Bobby Chacon. I think Bobby Chacon presses him all night long. Howard Davis doesn't let him get close to him, and I think Howard Davis walks away with the decision.
Okay.
So, I think Howard Davis moves on.
Yep.
The round
okay.
of 16.
All right.
All right. Now our final one here: Alexis Arguello versus the current lightweight kingpin Jorge Linares. All right. So Jorge Linares right now is the current lightweight kingpin. He's regarded as the best lightweight in the world. I still don't know that he has enough to beat Alexis Arguello.
No, Alexis Arguello wins this here.
Handily. I think he wins it handily.
Now I don't know if Alexis ever fought Bobby, but that would have been a war.
Oh yeah, I think he did. I believe he did. Yeah, I believe he fought Bobby Chacon. I really believe he did.
And I'm sure Alexis probably won if they did. But,
yeah, I'm sure he won. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, but hell, if I don't remember that, but that would have been a war if they ever fought one another, because the way those two fought. Perfect match, in my opinion. But no, Alexis wins this here, I think. What does the computer say?
Computer says Alexis. I say Alexis.
Yeah,
I think Alexis
unanimous.
Wins, and I think it wins by knockout. I think it's a knockout. Let me look this up. Now you got me...
curious.
Yeah, so he beat Mancini. Boza Edwards was the other guy that fought Chacon.
Oh, yeah, that was a good fight, too, yeah.
He did fight Bobby Chacon, and he beat him in 7 rounds.
Yep, okay.
Featherweight
fight,
which sounds about right. That sounds about right.
Yep.
You know, Alexis, boy, Alexis was bad. Well, he fought everybody. My God.
No, and you know what? Your scenario with Chacon and Arguello, I mean, Gotti, that's a perfect match for those two because they fought the exact same way, you know.
How about that for for a fantasy fight? Is Chacon and Arguello?
Yeah.
So I think Alexis gets him.
Yep.
Pretty easy fight for Alexis, actually.
Yep. He moves on.
Yeah, I agree. So let's take a look at the brackets now. So in this instance, moving on to the round of 16, Carlos Ortiz will take on Tony Canzaneri in the second round, and Howard Davis Jr. will fight Alexis Arguello in the next round.
Okay, so, well, my question, Eric, if you had Davis beating Chacon, does he beat Arguello?
You know, we'll have to wait and see, but, you know, right now, if I had to look at it, I don't think there's a chance for Howard Davis.
That's my point.
Now,
okay.
Next week, let's look ahead to next week here on our schedule here. Pernell Whitaker will face Ray Boom Boom Mancini.
Oh.
Good fight, man.
Yeah.
Henry Armstrong will fight Sean O'Grady.
Oh, okay.
Joel Casamayor will fight Hector Camacho.
And I think they might have actually fought one another, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't remember. I don't know. And then Bazooka Limon will fight Joe Gans.
Okay.
And that'll be our next round there.
Yeah, next week.
Yeah, so we're halfway through, midway through for the round of 16. So, yeah, stay tuned for that.
Yeah.
So, absolutely. All right. So let's move on to our news and rumors section. Not a whole lot going on here, but
you cover the two that you got there, and I did think of something else while in the midst of talking of other
things
here.
Absolutely. All right. Well, first things first, we talked about Danny Garcia and Roberto Guerrero. They'll be fighting. What do you have the
Robert
date on
Guerrero.
That? Yeah, Robert Guerrero.
January 23rd.
That was actually signed fairly.
That's on Fox. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And they'll be opening that up. Now, some sad news here. O'Neal Bell, former cruiserweight boxing champion, you know how I feel about cruiserweights, but this is sad, was shot during a robbery, man, shot and killed. O'Neal Supernova Bell was shot to death during a robbery as he exited a public transit bus in Atlanta early on last Wednesday. An officer found Bell lying in the street. Another man nearby had been shot but survived. The survivor was taken to the local hospital, and he said that he and Bell were shot after first being robbed when they stepped off the bus. So, very sad, man.
You know what? Atlanta is a terrible place to live if you're a boxer, because Atlanta was also the place where Vernon Forrest got shot and killed.
And that was sad, man. I mean, not taking anything away from O'Neal Bell, but Vernon Forrest, man, That was another one, and he was way too, you know, it was like, man, come on, really? You know, because he's not in anything, and neither was, you know, Neil Bell getting robbed. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. You people in Atlanta, what's wrong with you? In Vernon Forrest's case, I mean, you took out a fighter that, all I can tell you, his future was bright, man.
Oh, it did so much good also. I mean, he worked with those kids and everything like that. I mean, just...
Yeah, Foster Homes, and yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. What's wrong with you people in Atlanta?
Come on, Atlanta.
You know?
Get it together, huh?
Yeah.
Come on, get social. Get it together.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about Thanksgiving here. I had a pretty good Thanksgiving. We had a turducken. I made a turducken from scratch. That was good.
Yeah, we had a good Thanksgiving. No complaints. Absolutely. But Floyd really knows how to put on the Thanksgiving.
Tell you what, you say what you want about Floyd Mayweather. He knows how to party. 50 dimes. Gangster talk for $50,000. Floyd Mayweather dropped $1,000 a plate on his Thanksgiving dinner. All right, we got the menu from TMZ. He's reportedly spent $50,000 on Thanksgiving. 100 pounds worth of turkey, 25-pound turkeys.
Wow.
Unbelievable. Whew. That's a lot of turkey, man. A lot of turkey.
Those of you that got invited to the Floyd party, that's probably the best party that anybody had on Thanksgiving.
And guaranteed, if you're a boxer and you got invited over there, you ain't making weight for your next fight for sure. Listen to this menu, man. They got jerk tilapia on there, lemon pepper salmon, smothered oxtails, seafood gumbo, mac and cheese, shrimp mac and cheese, candy yams, garlic mashed potatoes, black-eyed peas, seasoned rice, collard greens, braised cabbage, Hawaiian rolls, gravy, cranberry sauce. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So
yeah.
They expected about 50 people there, about $1,000 a plate. 50,000. 50 large, son. 50 large. Unbelievable.
Only Floyd Mayweather can do something like this.
Yeah, he's going to fight again, man, no question about it, because he's going to go broke. He's going to be flat busted in about 2 years.
Yeah. No, he's definitely coming back for a 50th fight. He ain't going to stay retired. Now, what I thought of, during the Showtime telecast of the Gale fight, they interviewed Adonis Stevenson. And you got to take this for what it's worth, but apparently Adonis Stevenson and Kovalev were at the fight on Saturday with DeGale, and he said that him and Kovalev have agreed to actually fight, but Kovalev said, now remember, it only has to be on HBO, and Stevenson said he told his people. And apparently Kovalev has told his people they want Showtime and HBO to work together because Stevenson said the fight would take place in June. So if Showtime and HBO can figure out a way to work together like they did for Pacquiao Mayweather, it looks like Kovalev and Stevenson will fight in June. And chances are, since the two networks have to agree on things, this looks like it's going to be a pay-per-view thing in June, Eric.
Man, this fight ain't happening, man. Now, I did see pictures of them. They were posing on Twitter or whatever for pictures.
Yeah.
The two of them were there. They were definitely there at the fight. They were posing with each other. Looked like they were in good spirits, smiling at each other and stuff like that.
And like I said, Stevenson was interviewed on Showtime, and that's what he said. So
yeah, that fight ain't going off, man. That fight ain't happening, son. I'll be surprised if that happens.
Look,
they're there, you know what I mean? It's like both fighters are there. Of course they're going to say we want to fight each other. You know
I would much rather see Kovalev fight Stevenson than Kovalev fight Ward, okay?
Why? Ward's going to demolish Kovalev, man. That ain't even going to be a fight. I'm telling you. Ward's the truth.
Well, then you know what? If you believe that, if you're Andre Ward, you encourage Kovalev and Stevenson to fight because then you could have all four light heavyweight titles.
Yeah, I mean, I would, don't get me wrong, man. I want to see Kovalev and Stevenson fight. I for sure do. You know, I just don't think it's going to come off, man. I really don't. I don't understand why not, though. You know, I mean,
that's why it's called news and rumors.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't understand, like, why, you know, they offered Kovalev. I guess he's got a deal. They got a deal with HBO. You know, Kathy Duva's got that deal with her, whatever, with HBO. But, you know, man, I tell you what, they said they offered Kovalev. It would have been more money for him to fight on free TV than he would have gotten his last few fights combined.
I don't know. I don't know what the hell's wrong with Sergey Kovalev, because if Al's offering me money, I'm taking it.
Kathy Duva's wrong with him. You know
what
I mean? Because she's got to have the fight on HBO, because that's part of his contract.
Is she some kind of dime piece that he's connected to? Or, I mean, come on, give me a break.
Duva, have you seen Duva? No, she's not.
That's my point, Eric. What did she got over him that this fight can't happen?
What could she possibly have? He came out and called Adonis Stevenson a monkey and all the racist terms. I mean, you'd think they would have swept that under the rug or something like that, you know, if she had something, you know. Nothing on him.
What the hell does she got on you, son? I mean, this fight has – look, if you're going to have Andre Ward sign a contract and he's guaranteed to fight Kovalev before the end of 2016, then okay, then here's Kovalev's schedule. He beats up Pascal in January. He fights and beats Stevenson in June, and then in October you fight Ward. There you go. There's your schedule next year, Sergey.
There it is. Yeah, I mean, and you know what's funny is that Sergey's fighting like really tough fights, and Ward's not fighting really tough fights. He's gonna fight.
Yeah.
He's gonna fight Kovalev at the end of the year. That's what they say.
Yeah.
Who knows what happens, but that's part of his contract, though. That's part of his HBO contract. They said that he's got to fight Kovalev to see where it goes, you know.
No, they're going to allow him to fight two fights, but by the end of 2016, he's got to fight Kovalev.
Yeah, and if I were Ward, man, I'd start stepping up the competition, you know, because I mean, you've had, you know, you're back, man. I mean, you don't need some tune up fights. I mean, you fight some live bodies in there, you know.
I
would love to see that.
That would
be good. That would be good, you know.
Ultra Better Be, let's see. Okay, you want a second? Let's see. Who else can we stick in there? Give me another good light heavyweight there, Eric, that Andre, that Ward could, you know.
What's his face? The Polish guy.
Yeah, Farnsworth. There you go. Okay. So, you want to prove you're back, Andre? I just gave Kovalev his schedule. Here's yours. Artur Beterbiev and Font Four. There you go.
And it'll be real interesting. You'll know, I mean, like I said, man, whoever Adonis Stevenson, if Adonis Stevenson fights Font Four next, I don't think that fight comes off. Because I think Font Four is going to beat him, man. I really do.
Unless Al Haymon interferes, I think Font Four would take Kovalev. Well, I mean, would take the fight.
Yeah, I think so, too. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, Von Furr's no joke, man. He's a good fighter.
Yeah. So, there you go.
All right, so that's our news and rumors.
Yeah.
And that'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Robbie on Twitter at Ringside Robert.
Or you can get a hold of me even better by calling my box that I have all the fights and stuff on, and you can hear Ringside Reporter also there at 773-572-7781. And for those of you that are interested, we're putting up, not only do we put up our current history lesson that we talk about each week, but we're also doing past history lessons that we've done because people have requested that, so that's what we've been doing. You can hear the current history lesson on option 2 and the past ones that we've done on option 5, and we add to both options each week. So there you go.
It's a pretty cool feature. You know what we're going to have to look into, man, is if we can do videos of them. You know what I mean? Like have a website and put the videos on there. I think that'd be pretty cool.
You could probably do the videos on Ringside Reporter, don't you think?
We could. I don't know if it's a copyright thing, though. I'm pretty sure it's a copyright.
Well, yeah, you might have to deal with, yeah. You'll have to check into that. But no, for the audio, you can listen to these fights. And because Believe me, I've heard what we put up there so far, and it's reminded me of things, you know, yeah. Which is good, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know what? I might just go ahead and put the videos up there, and I'll lawyer up later, you know. Why not?
you said it on air. I didn't, so there we go. Anyway, we'll see you guys next week. And,
that's right.
And believe me, hey, leave me feedback, and whatever you want to hear, we'll try to put up there.
Absolutely. I'm Ringside. I'm at Ringside73 on Twitter. We'll see you next week.
All right.
Thanks for listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. Check us out on the web at www.ringsidereporter.com, on Twitter at Ringside73, and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Ringside73. Subscribe to us on iTunes.